that led us to go in. They tell him there's no taxi inside, and when we try to show them there's a taxi, the police give 2 tickets for drivers.
The ongoing protests at the largest hotel on the East Coast continued this week. Security for the Gaylord Hotel and Prince George's County Police prevented taxis from going on hotel property to pick up guests for several hours, cabbies report. Meanwhile, in D.C., a TV personality is continuing his sting operations on cabbies.
When we first aired our story showing cabs refusing service to black passengers in December, you tweeted me saying we needed to do it again, late at night, and include women. We did, and you were right. Under cover of darkness, D.C.'s taxis get worse.
While Channel 9's Russ Potosik focuses on the problems with cabbies, we focus on his inconsistent reporting on taxi issues, including the murder of driver Solomon Okoro. To talk about driver safety, we'll be joined by Evelyn Ruiz, owner of Classic Cab, the company for which Mr. Okoro drove for 15 years. I'll also be opening up the phone line to hear from drivers and get your thoughts on the issues that should be raised at the upcoming Town Hall Wednesday with D.C. Taxi Chair Ron Linton.
I appreciate the invitation for a town hall meeting with drivers. I'm really looking forward to that, and I hope there is a good turnout.
This is the Taxi Link, brought to you by the Small Business Association of D.C. Taxi Cab Drivers. I'm Pete Tucker with thefightback.org. Protests continue this week at National Harbor, the luxury resort and mini city on the Potomac River, just over the D.C. line in Prince George's County. At National Harbor's and the East Coast's largest hotel, the Gaylord, police and hotel security prevented drivers from picking up passengers on hotel property for several hours on Wednesday, according to cabbies, including Fisaha Tesfai.
The difference, they not let us to go in. They tell him there's no taxi inside. And when we try to show them there is a taxi, the police give 2 tickets for drivers because they go through by their drive-thru. And they're scaring the driver not to get in there, and they tell the customer there is no taxi. You know, some of the customers who has a flyer, they walk out and they catch a cab. You know, just these all things happened right a few minutes ago.
The Gaylord Hotel denies the taxis have been prevented from coming on hotel property, and a hotel spokesperson said cabbies have always been and continue to be welcome to pick up fares at the hotel. We'll play my full interview with taxi leader Fisaha Tesfai from Wednesday later in the program. Fairfax and Prince William County Police are investigating a series of at least 6 taxi robberies since December that have taken place in a similar manner and at similar times, including of D.C. drivers. In the early morning hours between 2 a.m. and 6:30 a.m., cabbies report being approached after they've parked by 2 armed men, one about 6'2" and the other 5'10" and 180 pounds. Police believe the incidents are connected and the robbers may be using a stolen taxi at times. WTOP has posted descriptions of the 6 robberies and we'll link to that at thefightback.org. In Indiana, several cabbies have brought a class action lawsuit against the Speedway Police Department, which they say improperly seized their licenses after the Indy 500 race on May 26th. According to the cabbies, after the race, they attempted to retrieve the passengers they had dropped off and arranged to pick up, but instead Speedway officers asked to see their licenses, then took them. The drivers are being represented by Ken Falk, legal director for the ACLU of Indiana. Falk said, "The state really has no business seizing your property without cause and certainly has no business taking something as important as the license you use for your livelihood without some sort of process." An Alexandria cabbie, Eo Babai, has started a petition demanding the mayor and council give drivers the freedom to leave abusive, unfair cab companies. The petition, which we'll link to at thefightback.org, states, "Because we have no right to move companies if we dislike our working conditions, we have 2 options. Stay with our companies and continue to suffer, or quit our jobs as cab drivers." Drivers contend that, as independent contractors who own their own vehicles, they should have the ability to freely associate with any company they choose and not be forced to stay with the company for 2 years, as the city currently requires. Abai's petition comes just as a city council-appointed task force to study the issue is scheduled to get underway. Just before the show, I spoke with Eo Babai and asked him why he started the petition. We turn now to the clip of my interview with Eo Babai.
We are cab drivers. I've been stuck in one company for so long. The transfer been stopped like about 3 years for unexplained reason. We asked the city why they did stop it, but they never give us like a full answer why they did. When you stuck to one company, that company like can do whatever they wanted to do to you. So the only thing we're asking is like basic rights, basic freedom to have a chance to move from company to company. But the Alexandria, the city of Alexandria doesn't allow us to move from company to company. Every time, then when they raise the standard, we have to work more hours to compensate that raise. You know, if I give you an example, like if I get like a call, with the average wait to get a call in Alexandria City is like 1 hour and 15 minutes. And then let's say you get a call for $25. So you go to D.C., you make $25 to go to D.C. for nice, there's no traffic. It will take you about 15 minutes. To get back, it will take you about another 15 minutes. All together will be like 2 hours. Within 2 hours, you're making like $25. On top of that, recently we start accepting credit card. When the customer pays credit card, automatically the company takes like 5% out of 25%, which means $1.25, which remains for us like $23.75. So on top of that, we have like to pay for gas, we have to pay standu, we have to pay insurance. By the time you calculate like in 1 hour, you make it like maybe $8 or $9. So that makes the, like our life very, very, very much hard. Every time they put some money on the standu, we have to work like extra hours to compensate that raise. And that makes us like separate our family. We don't have like family time like other people do. Most of the time we work like over 78 hours. So you don't have time, you know, with your family. But if the transfer thing opens, like we can go wherever the standu rate is like lower, so we can have more time with our family. That's why I started the petition.
And you're asking drivers to sign on?
Yes, sir. I'm asking the drivers to sign on. So it's not like only our problem selling people. Like they think it's like every company's drivers is their problem, because everybody works like more hours every time. And also, the more hours you work outside, and the more danger you are in, because you get tired, and you know, you lose your concentration. Then you might be in accidents. So that's another loss too. So I'm asking all the drivers to participate and sign this petition.
That was Alexandria driver Eob Abai. We'll link to his petition at thefightback.org. The funeral services for Solomon Okoro will be held July 19th and 20th, the 57-year-old father of five was shot and killed while driving his cab in Adams Morgan last month. In an email to the Taxi Link, Classic cab owner Evelyn Ruiz, who will be joining us shortly, thanked drivers for their contributions and asked that those attending the service write a note, could be anonymous, about their concerns with driver safety, which she'll collect. We'll post the details for Mr. Okoro's services at thefightback.org. This is The Taxi Link. I'm Pete Tucker with The Fight Back, and I'm joined by my co-host, Tony Norman, chairman of D.C. Advisory Neighborhood Commission 1B, which includes parts of U Street, 9th Street, and Georgia Avenue. Welcome, Tony Norman.
Glad to be here.
Before I get your opening thoughts, and we got a lot to discuss, I want to let folks know that we're going to be opening up the phone line, so I want to give out that number a couple of times and want drivers to call in. We have a town hall coming up Wednesday, and I'm very glad Chairman Linton agreed to do it, and they got a lot of issues to discuss, and if there are issues that drivers want to raise tonight that we should discuss, you know, then bring those up, and I'll give out that number a couple of times, and we hope drivers come and raise those issues in person as well. So the number to call in tonight to the studio is 703-534-9878, 703-534-9878. Welcome, Tony.
Yes, like I said, glad to be here to deal with the issues with the taxi cab commission and taxi issues in the region. I think this town hall meeting is going to be very important. We certainly want to pump that and tell the drivers, particularly in Washington, D.C., to come out. That's this Wednesday at 2 o'clock at the 600 L Street Northwest. Please come out to that. That's going to be very – now is the time to speak with the chairman of the commission, to express your views, to express how you feel about what's going on in Washington, D.C. with the directly to the chairman. So this is an opportunity to get these things off your chest. We briefly had a conversation with him, and I think he might be open to some of the suggestions. He seemed open to some of the suggestions that we mentioned when we had a brief conversation with him.
And the importance of most time that drivers interact with the chairman, and I think this is true in all the jurisdictions, too frequently. He has a gavel, and it's a, you know, a meeting, whether it be at the council or the taxi cab commission, or the councils in different regions, or the taxi cab commissions in different jurisdictions. That the power, you know, drivers are speaking when they're told, but this is more of a open field, and I think that's an important step, and to really open up the dialogue so it flows a little more freely in both ways, and you can hear maybe more directly and from drivers.
Yeah, and I think this is that it is very important to make that and have a discussion, because unlike some of the other jurisdictions, the chairman of this particular taxi cab commission has a great deal of influence. He's not just chair, he's also basically the chief executive of the regulatory agency of taxi cabs. So a lot of things he can have direct impact on that taxi cab drivers may want to change immediately, particularly some of the issues we were concerned with about those two taxi cab drivers that were suspended in that process, the due process, which I think even to some extent the chairman agrees that there can be some revisions in the way that process went down. So I think that's one of the issues that can be discussed. But also a number of the issues that are confronting the taxi cab drivers here in the region and in Washington, D.C. And even briefly, the chairman said he had some reservations about how the taxi cab drivers are treated out at the harbor, the way they're squeezed out and that sort of thing. So I think that's a great deal. That's an interesting perspective that the chairman of the commission has in terms of the taxi cab drivers out in the harbor. So I think that we would invite all taxi cab drivers to come to this town hall meeting, because not just in Washington, D.C., once again, just like we invited the taxi cab drivers in D.C. and the region to go down to the harbor, we're asking all of the drivers to come up and express themselves and support their issues. That's the only way that we can get anything done. We still support the drivers in the harbor, and the drivers in the harbor should support the issues that the drivers here in Washington are pushing.
You mentioned the case Sharanjit Singh. He has his license restored, but it was costly. He was fined, I think, $1,500 and had to pay for a lawyer and whatnot. And then the case of Ephraim Achete, another driver who the criminal charges against both drivers have been dismissed, but the civil charges that were brought up and that procedure continues for Ephraim Achete, and he remains unable to drive as of this broadcast. And as Tony mentioned, Wednesday, 2 p.m. will be a taxi town hall at 600 L Street Northwest, just east of the convention center. And Tony and I will be moderating discussion. We look forward to seeing drivers there. This marks the first town hall that D.C. Taxi Chair Ron Litton has taken part in, and he'll be responding directly to driver questions and concerns. I caught up with Chairman Litton on Friday, and he said he's looking forward to taking part in the town hall.
Well, I appreciate this opportunity to talk to you, Peter, and I appreciate the invitation for a town hall meeting with drivers. I'm really looking forward to that, I hope there is a good turnout.
Again, the town hall will be held this coming Wednesday, 2 to 3:30 p.m., so we're just going 90 minutes, hour and a half, so please come and get there. You can get there a little before 2. We'll be there ahead of time, but it's just 2 to 3:30, and at 600 L Street Northwest. We want to get a lot of driver questions in, get the responses, and then we need to follow up on certain things, and we'll do that over the show. And we'll also be bringing you next week a good amount of the clips from the show, so people can find out what was said and get a real understanding of where things are headed. Another issue we're going to raise with him is the opening up of the taxi licenses, because that's, I know, an issue I've been hearing of a great deal from drivers. There's real concern about that. I want to turn now to the media. News Channel 9 TV personality Russ Potosik is continuing to conduct yet more sting operations on cabbies. Despite being unsuccessful at winning an Emmy Award for his stings, Potosik and Channel 9 continue nonetheless. While Potosik repeatedly goes after cabbies for not picking up all passengers at all times, he has had almost nothing to say on the murder of Solomon Okoro. The 57-year-old father of five was killed while driving his cab in Adams Morgan last month. Not only did Potosik not do a piece on Okoro's murder, but he didn't even mention his name on social media. I was carefully looking at his tweets today, and there are a lot of them. Only one of Potosik's tweets referenced Okoro's killing, not by name, and it came during Ward 3 Councilmember Mary Chase's hearing on passenger safety last month, which turned into a hearing on driver safety, but only because it took place the day after Solomon Okoro was killed. That's it when it comes to Okoro's murder. Now, without being mentioned by name, the lead-in to the piece that was aired the next day, Potosik's piece, and you'll hear, we're going to start with Derek McGinty, who's the anchor for Channel 9. He said, "We've been criticized on some by social media, and while our hearts go out to the cabbie who was killed, we'll never stop trying to get justice for everyone in our viewing area."
And our reports on cabbies refusing to pick up passengers of color and refusing rides into some neighborhoods, we've been criticized on social media by some. However, we stand by the basic idea that refusing to pick someone up because of their race or destination is illegal and perhaps immoral as well. And while our hearts go out to the cabbie who was killed, we'll never stop trying to get justice for everyone in our viewing area. In fact, D.C.'s Office of Human Rights has watched our undercover reports documenting cabs stranding passengers in wheelchairs with service dogs or because of race. And investigative reporter Russ Potosik reports the agency's now ready to sue not only the drivers, even the cab companies.
That was News 9 anchor Derek McGinty in a story that ran the day after the murder of Solomon Okoro, who wasn't mentioned by name. McGinty then kicked it to Russ Potosik. Now, Potosik's story for the day was that he, Potosik, deserves credit for the D.C. Office of Human Rights moving to investigate cabbies' failure to pick up passengers. In fact, in his piece about his own reporting, Potosik airs the director thanking him, "We saw your reports and we thank you for it," Gustavo Velasquez told Potosik. Again, this all took place the day after Okoro's murder. Here's some of Potosik's report.
Undercover video that now he credits with motivating change.
100%. I mean, it's we saw the reports and we, you know, thank you for
He's launched this taxicab discrimination page and created an online complaint form.
We will be looking at failure to pick up a passenger because of who they are.
And it's not just race or disability or service dogs.
AMC Theater and Rockville.
Velasquez is going after destination refusals too, and discrimination based upon national origin, sexual orientation, or gender identity. So the next time a cab slows down until he sees the face of that passenger, DC's Office of Human Rights will be waiting for that complaint.
At WUSA9.com, we've got links not only to the D.C. Taxi Commission, but also to the new complaint form at the D.C. Office of Human Rights. Also, we've got a link so you can send your video proof when you see taxi discrimination on D.C. streets. I'm investigative reporter Russ Potosik, WUSA9.
That was from Channel 9 TV personality Russ Potosik. Joining us on the line now is Evelyn Ruiz, owner of Classic Cab, the company for which Solomon Okoro drove for 15 years. Welcome, Ms. Ruiz.
Hi, good afternoon, Mr. Tucker. Good afternoon, Mr. Norman. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us. I want you to respond to the reports that we aired, but first I know that the funeral services for Solomon Okoro have been finalized, so if you want to say a bit about that, and we'll link to all the details at thefightback.org, but the funeral services, July 19th and 20th, is it?
Yes, sir, it is. That's on July 19th, there will be a viewing at the Gold Room, Glen Arden Municipal Center City Hall, 8600 Glen Arden Parkway, Glen Arden, Maryland, 20706. And that would be from 7 p.m. until 2 a.m. And we would like to thank the city of Glenarden for donating the usage of the place for 2 days at no charge for the Okoro family. This is one of the reasons for the funeral delay. The family had to wait for the municipal or city to approve the usage of the gold room. Thank you. And on July 20, Saturday, that would be a funeral service. The body will be at the J.B. Jenkins Funeral Homes at 7474 Landover Road, Landover, Maryland, 20785. And the interment will be at the Maryland National Memorial Park, 13300 Baltimore Avenue, Laurel, Maryland, 20707, on July 20, Saturday. For more details, you can call me anytime at 202-399-6815. Thank you very much. And I also want to take this opportunity to thank everybody who made donations and gifts and offered prayers to the Okoro family. As of this writing, I collected $1,810. That's a big help, but if you can give a little bit more, you can still continue to give to the family care of Classic Cab Company. I also want for all the DC cab drivers out there that are planning to attend the funeral to write a note or comment about their concern or concerns about their safety, and I am willing to collect it from them during the funeral service. They can be anonymous if that's what they prefer. Thank you again, Mr. Tucker.
Evelyn Ruiz, Solomon Okoro drove for 15 years for your company, Classic Cab. I was wondering if you could describe him just a bit.
He was. You see, I have a problem using the present tense and the past tense because it seems that it's only yesterday, 15 years ago, that he joined my company. He is a very friendly person. He don't have any problem with anyone. And he is the person that would pick up any passenger. He do not discriminate any time of the day. And if you need his help, he will be coming running. He is not expecting any reward for his help. He's just that kind of person. Very nice. Very good family man. Very good friend.
Can you comment, Evelyn Ruiz? We played a couple of clips from the reports that Russ Potosik has aired on Channel 9. He is just on a very consistent basis doing sting operations against drivers, and fines have now gone up to $500 for not picking up a fare. But what goes unmentioned is just how dangerous this job is. People, yes, it was in the media that Solomon Okoro, 57-year-old father of five, was killed. But not mentioned is how frequently drivers are robbed and assaulted. And we've had previously on the Taxi Link Commissioner Stanley Tapscott, who said there are times when drivers don't even report being robbed because not a lot is going to be done. Police often don't take it very seriously when a cab driver reports a robbery. And so kind of, I guess, what's the point of getting robbed twice? Once you get robbed of your money, then you get robbed of your time waiting for a police investigation that probably isn't going to amount to much. But I was wondering, Evelyn Ruiz, if you could talk a little bit about driver safety and comment on some of these reports from Russ Potosik.
Yes, I would love to do that. But first of all, Mr. Tucker, I hope I am not stepping on anyone's toes in here. I do not want to take sides. We have to look on both directions. I just hope that there is an equal representation. But yes, I did saw the incriminating video just today. I understand 9th Rose Mr. Rose Tasek and the human rights spokesperson are all pinning down the cab drivers for racism and discrimination. I would like to talk all three accusations that they made on racism against black people. I could not understand that the drivers were accused of being racist, because I would say 90% of these drivers are black people themselves. Excuse me, but English is not my first language, but I do not think that is the right word for it. Channel 9 had stopped 200 cabs, and 18 drivers refused to haul a certain fare. Why don't we try to find out why instead of prejudging them? There are several reasons, maybe, why a taxi cab driver refused to haul a certain fare. First, maybe this particular driver got robbed before by a black man. I know a driver that has been robbed several times by a black person. I believe if an Asian man robbed him before at gunpoint, possible he will have a problem picking up Asian people too. It is not easy to be traumatized. I have a second reason. Maybe this particular driver has been a victim of non-paying black passengers before as well. But again, Asian people does not pay him before, maybe he will not be picking up Asian people as well. I think instead of blaming the drivers, let's ask Channel 9 to ask the drivers their reasons without prejudice.
I think I appreciate that. I think you're right. These are the complex issues, and they need to be covered from a variety of perspectives, including from the passenger's perspective. It's important that there is, that when there is discrimination, that it figure out why and make headway to actually do something about it. And also that drivers are putting passengers, putting people they don't know, inches behind their head time and again. And for those of us who have never driven a cab and never been closely associated with people driving a cab, I don't think the dangers are fully understood. But I wanted to bring Tony Norman, co-host of the Taxi Link, into the conversation as well. If you want to comment on what Mr. Weiss has laid out. And I appreciate, Mr. Weiss, that English is not your first language and these are difficult issues to tackle. I appreciate your willingness to do so. You spoke out forcefully in the wake of Solomon Okoro's murder, someone I know you were close with, and I appreciate your continuing to speak out on this issue. But Tony Norman.
Yeah, I just want to highlight some of the things she brought out was that there are other mitigating considerations. That's not necessarily racism, that taxicab drivers are not picking up certain passengers. She also brought out that if you look at the statistical numbers, that the majority of drivers are picking up all sorts of passengers. That if you pick on those one or two minorities that are not, you're always going to have some bad seeds in the bunch, and then think that that representative of the taxicab industry, that's the misrepresentation of his reporting. And also, he also need to do a sting on Uber. Why don't he set up some people calling in certain parts of the city that he know Uber, even though they're supposed to pick up someone, set that up and see how many people in an Uber would go in far Anacostia and northeast to pick someone up. And then you can set that same type of sting up if you want to be discriminatory. And I think you find some interesting facts with Uber and how they would necessarily discriminate in their drivers. Also, with pizza delivery, certain pizza places and restaurants will not deliver in certain neighborhoods. So he needs to do a story on that. I mean, this is representative of some things that he needs to point out that he's just picking on cab drivers, which I think statistically is misrepresentative. But he needs to do that across the board to see a lot of those mitigating factors is not necessarily racism or discrimination. And then although there are some businesses that are practicing racism and discrimination, and if he can go to some high end restaurants and see how many will serve, how long I've sat in restaurants where a Caucasian person come in, they served them right away. I'm still sitting at the table. Do a sting on that. You're picking on the wrong people to represent. if he's trying to show racism is still involved in society, you're not going to find it among taxicab drivers where the majority of them are still minorities. You want to pick up and find racism where it really is. I mean, even in the media. How many people in, do they interview in the media or become dealing with a major story if it's not dealing – they don't have a black when it's dealing with black issues. Otherwise, there's no black on the station. So there are other areas he wants to do a sting on to point out racism. He can do. He can probably get an Emmy in those areas. But trying to show racism among the general taxicab population, I think, is very misleading and misrepresentative. And I think if he wants to be fair, try a sting with Uber and how many places you can call and see if they would go in the far northeast part to Washington to drive out there and pick someone up.
And actually, part of the story, I don't think we aired this part that he has done. The headline is all about taxis, but one of the cars who doesn't pick up a black passenger and then picks up a white passenger is a black sedan. I don't know whether it was Uber or another company. I don't know. But that's all lopped into this story going after taxis. And I also have a concern that that Russ Potosik is constantly on Twitter, and yet he doesn't – I looked today. I couldn't see a single mention of the name of Solomon Okoro. So if you're going to cover the issue of drivers not picking up all people at all times, then you have to cover the flip side of that issue too, which is that there are real consequences for picking up people. It's not like – you know, if a reporter doesn't interview this person or that person, our life is not in danger. But when you put people you don't know inches behind your head, it's a very real public service, and there's a very real risk involved that I don't think those of us who aren't drivers can fully appreciate. And I just have a trouble with I don't see a mention of the name Solomon Okoro, which I think represents the other side of that story.
Yes, and also when you look at those videos and the sting that he's doing, you don't take in consideration what's the other mitigating factors why those drivers. You can't automatically assume that that's why they're not picking them up just because they're black or what have you. There may be other considerations. I mean, we know that there are certain areas, even to discriminate in certain areas of the city, there are some hot spots that even the taxicab commission and police know that there are some things that are going to happen that they've been known to be robbed. Taxicab drivers have been known to be robbed in those particular areas. So if a driver, whether he is a white person or whatever, he's not going to go in that particular area. Now, you have to look at that, whether or not that's a discriminatory process. He's discriminating on his life, where you have a high statistics of people, taxicab drivers are being robbed. So you have to look at other mitigating factors why they are hesitant to pick a driver up or what's going on at that time. A lot of it is not necessarily racism. So you can't just assume that just by looking at the video and looking at his reports.
And I think the fines now have been doubled from $250 to $500, as I understand it, for not picking someone up. One more tweet that I wanted to focus on from Russ Potosik. He tweeted to Hell on Wheels, Lauren Faith, and PVA 1946, which is the Paralyzed Veterans of America, tweeted to them, looking for a war vet who uses a service dog to help us test cabs. Can you help? And what he's saying on Twitter is, I want to get a veteran who uses a service dog so that if they, and the point is so that if they are denied by a cab, this is better for his video. It makes more compelling, more, I guess, Emmy Award nominee material for him in his video. And I just feel like this is using drivers as a backdrop for a play or an award, and it's not dealing with the complexity and the dangers of this issue in its all its scope and complexity that really this issue deserves.
Yes, and once again, I know I see where he's got the Human Rights Commission involved. I mean, that's going to be a very difficult. You have to prove intent if you're going to prove a human rights violation that driver specifically intended to discriminate against that person based on race. That's going to be a hard hurdle to get past if you're going to try to prosecute them on the human rights violations of the D.C. Code. You have to prove a specific intent, not just a general intent, a specific intent that specific driver racially discriminated against that person. I think that's an uphill because you'll have to eliminate other factors why that particular driver didn't pick that particular passenger up.
Evelyn Ruiz, I wanted to get your final thoughts. And while Russ Potosik might not mention the name of Solomon Okoro, we, of course, will continue to do so. And I know the Services are coming up July 19th and 20th, but your final thoughts, and thank you so much for taking the time to join with us. I know Saturday's a busy night for Classic Cab and the other cab companies.
Thank you.
Is there any final thoughts you care to share? I want to thank Evelyn Ruiz for joining with us. And I wanted to turn now to National Harbor in Prince George's County. Protests continued there this week at the Lugs Resort in Mini City on the Potomac River, just over the D.C. line. At the Gaylord Hotel, National Harbor is in the East Coast's largest hotel. Cab drivers say police and hotel security prevented them from picking up passengers on hotel property for several hours on Wednesday. The Gaylord Hotel denies the driver's claim, and a hotel spokesperson said cab drivers have always been and continue to be welcome to pick up fares when the hotel whistles for them. Meanwhile, the Gaylord's private transportation vendor, the French multinational corporation Veolia, continues to park its vehicles directly in front of the hotel. Veolia's fleet includes black sedans, blue super shuttle vans, and now white and green hybrids priced to compete directly with taxis. While Veolia's vehicles are prominently displayed, taxis are hidden away, and cab drivers must pay $60 a month to wait in a parking garage across two streets in the field from the hotel out of sight of guests. Cabbies say the unfair competition, along with the introduction of the hybrids, has left them unable to make a living. Wednesday in the parking garage, I caught up with Fissa Tesfai, driver leader at National Harbor.
A few hours ago, you know, the security officer and the police, they blocked the street, the gate to drive through in the Gaylord while the customer waited a taxi. And the taxi driver, they find it's very difficult to go and pick up the customer. Customer waiting, taxi come and pick up, to get picked up by a taxi. So this scenario happened right a few hours ago. And we tried to pick a customer by calling them outside of street and the public road. And that's how we was running. But, you know, the most difficult thing is, you know, when the police, they should work with, you know, the regular citizen too, but they take it inside to the hotel and for rich people, and they start abusing the drivers, you know. And until now, like now, almost now, an hour and a, 2 hours, the drivers, they have a hard time to do their job. Just because this Viola car, they are out there because of to give them a chance to work the whole job. And they just abusing regular taxi drivers.
So let me see if I'm understanding this correctly. We're on the third floor of the parking garage where drivers have to wait across two streets in a field from the hotel. And then when the hotel whistles, then drivers make their way down, cross the streets, and go onto the driveway where all of Veolia's cars are, under the awning, and that's where you would normally pick up taxis. And the difference today was what?
The difference, they not let us to go in. They telling there's no taxi inside, and when we try to show them there's a taxi, the police give two tickets for drivers because they go through by their drive-through. And they're scaring the driver not to get in there, and they tell the customer there's no taxi. You know, some of the customers who has a flyer, they walk out and they catch a cab. You know, just this whole thing happened right a few minutes ago.
What the hotel says is that they didn't tell any drivers not to come on the driveway, and that they were whistling for drivers, but drivers weren't coming, and that maybe what happened was that drivers decided to set up their own taxi stand on the street, and somehow they weren't exactly sure, but somehow there was a incident or some with the police. But the hotel said we didn't really have anything to do with this.
Yeah, actually we have a videotaped because the police officers stand at the gate, the entrance to the Gaylord driveway, and they block in the entrance.
Not for everybody.
When the taxi driver pulled, they tell get out. That's how we can't get a pickup. And they trying to build a case on us and to make us, we're doing bad thing, you know.
So the driveway wasn't closed for other drivers?
For only the taxi drivers. When the Viola cars come in, they let them through. And they pick the customer and they drive away. But when the taxi driver tried to go inside, they told him you cannot allow to go inside.
And
that's what happened there.
What about the hotel spokesperson saying that the whistle was blown a number of times for taxis to come off the third floor, down the way, and across the street to pick up a ride? And they said there was a bunch of whistles where taxi drivers just didn't come.
That's completely lying. We are here since in the morning to work. not just to play around. You know, we are picking a customer. You know, just they are, they just trying doing some unnecessary stuff out there. You know, we are trying to work, not just to sit around and play. You know? This all what happened right now is happened because the driver, they can't get a job. That's why they just drive all over the places, and they're just trying to show them, you know, whatever they're doing is not right. You know?
What are drivers doing now? There's a lot less business. Is that right, that there's a lot less business since the hybrids have been introduced? Viola already has black sedans and the Super Shuttle, and now they have these hybrids.
Yeah. If you see today, they already they control all the guests inside the hotel, and the taxi driver, they get a few jobs from here now. Even they got one or two fares a day since now, you know. So that means it shows you the Viola car, they took over already a whole job in this area. And the drivers see it clearly, and it's hard for them to make money too, you know. They've been asking to get a fair chance, you know. They ask them, when the customer asks taxi, just let her through in and pick up the guest. They didn't ask nothing else. And they didn't try to build, to put the on the road, the taxi stand, anything, you know. When the people come across the street, we have to stop there and pick them up. We're not going to refuse them, you know, because they're asking a taxi. And the same thing we ask them, let us through. When they guests ask the taxi, let us through and pick up the job, you know. That's all we ask them.
Normally, how many rides would you have expected to have given by this time in the day?
Yeah, today, you know, they have like 3,000-something checkout. But this time, at least everybody, they might have like 3 or 4 rides, every driver. But now, I believe they didn't get that much right now.
How much longer can drivers last? And where, you said they're going. Where are drivers going? If they can't make a living here, where are they going?
Some of them, if they can't work, you know, some of them, they go outside or to find a job. Some of them, they go home simply, you know, because they can't make a job, money, you know. And it's hard for the driver to, you know, outside already is filled by taxi drivers, and it's hard to make a living outside also. This is the chance the driver they can make at least a little bit of money out here.
That was Fisaha Tesfai, a driver leader at National Harbor. We spoke Wednesday in the parking garage across from the Gaylord Hotel, largest hotel on the East Coast and at National Harbor. And we're going to continue to follow the struggle there as drivers are trying to ensure that they can make a living. This is the Taxi Link broadcasting here on WST, 1120 AM, sponsored by the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers. I'm Pete Tucker along with Tony Norman, and we're going to open up the phone line. So I'll give out the number a couple more times. So get ready, write it down, call us in, tell us what the issues are that need to be discussed at Wednesday's Town Hall, Wednesday, 2 p.m., 600 L Street Northwest, right by the Convention Center. Got a good space and a good issue, which is taxi cab issues in DC that we get to set the agenda, and it's very important to get some of these responses on the record from the complaint process against drivers, which I hear time and again about, and as we've discussed with individuals, Sharanjit Singh and Ephraim Machete. But there are many, many drivers who are month to month as far as having to go in and get a paper version of their face card because of this complaint process, which is many drivers say is quite flawed, to the dome lights and the credit card readers, and all these issues are happening as we speak, and we can get responses on the record to driver concerns. So the number to call to join the conversation is 703-534-9878, 703-534-9878. Not just talking DC issues, we want to hear from drivers about National Harbor, Montgomery County, Alexandria, Arlington, like we heard about the petition that's being started regarding the ability for drivers to leave companies, which seems a pretty basic right. I'd like to welcome Ermias Wosenu, who has called in and joined us on the line. Welcome, Ermias.
Thank you, Pete.
Well, welcome, and I understand, because I won't be giving out tonight the number for the phone conference, which takes place each Saturday. I understand it's not happening tonight. This is the Amharic phone conference that the Small Business Association does, a very important phone conference, an invaluable resource. Again, it takes place in Amharic, not in English, but not tonight?
Not tonight, Pete. The reason, it is Ethiopian tournament going on in the city. So many people going to attending the closing ceremony there. So the time, almost same time, you know, it happened. So because of that, we're going to skip for this week. And then we'll come back next week. We're going to keep continue. I would like to stress, especially for the town hall meeting, it's a very important meeting. It's a very big, big, big opportunity for the drivers. So what we would like to do, you know, we're going to circulate the text message, email message, from Monday to starting Monday to Tuesday until the time is coming to the meeting time. At least we're going to blast, you know, very as much as we can the text message. So we're going to spread out the word.
Thank you so much, Amos. Are there any issues that you hope get raised at the town hall?
Yeah, you brought up a very, very critical issue. Maybe, you know, like when you say credit card, dome light, that thing is going to be a requirement. You can buy it, you can install it, and then will be done. Okay, but other than that, each driver every day just called by taxi cab commission without due process, you know, just raise different issues, like some of them 2012, some of them 2011. Complain, and then the taxi cab commission, the person, the mediator, he just gives him blank paper to driving. Also, he just trying to pushing them to pay the payment, the penalty, many things, you know, a lot of things going on. All this happened without due process. So it's good, you know, this kind of issue have to brought by drivers, you know, with evidence, compile evidence to the attention of the taxi cab commissioner. I think we're going to have many, many discussion on that. That's very, very, very critical because everybody, you know, imagine, you know, this is your job. This is you raise your family, kid, you take care of your family. So all of a sudden, letter comes, something you don't know. Taxi cab commission need you for this reason. Someone complained by 2011, 2012. Imagine, you know, that kind of period, like very expanded time. You know, even the driver doesn't know what happened. Also, when the driver went there, it doesn't tell them what is the issue, what exactly happened, who's the complainer. Just they're just pushing them to pay fine. For this, you have to pay this. For this, you have to pay this. That really, really should not be done by the government agency, that kind of job. So we have to very highlight and discuss this issue. That's very, very key issue, Pete.
Thank you so much, Amos Wosenu. I look forward to the phone conference continuing next week. And I'm also looking forward to bringing up this issue with Chairman Ron Linton. And he had some concerns with the report that I put up at thefightback.org on these very issues. And so we look forward to getting his response. And he said, and I appreciate this, that on each of the issues that we raised regarding D.C., that he wants the Taxi Cab Commission to be able to get a fair chance to respond. We'd absolutely love them to get a fair chance to respond. So not only at the town hall, but going forward, we can get responses and help get clarification on these issues. And Tony, that's, I know, an issue that you're concerned about. You're an advisory neighborhood commissioner. You're an attorney. This in instances where it's questionable whether due process is being provided to drivers. And again, I want to give out the number. We got a phone line open, 703-534-9878, 703-534-9878. Tony Norman.
I just wanted to emphasize that to the driver should come to this town hall meeting. It's going to be informal. It's not like a formal hearing. You can raise the issues that are happening with you individually as well as with the taxi cab industry in general. If there are some aggressive hack inspectors, which we know they exist, or you've been mistreated when you went down to get your license or what have you, or fine, this is an opportunity to raise that particular issue. So that the chairman can address that and deal with those particular issues. And we, like I said, we met with him briefly, and we had a issue I was concerned with is that due process for taxicab drivers. like this process when they just assume and somebody file a complaint against a taxi cab driver, you just the commission or the people and the bureaucrats in the commission simply decide they're going to suspend a taxi cab driver's license without even touching bases with that taxi cab driver to hear his side of the story. That is an unfair process. So you can't just automatically, because somebody made a complaint, suspend that particular driver without hearing the side of that driver, without putting some credibility and questioning the credibility of someone who makes the accusation. That's happened in one of these and a couple of these situations where the driver's license were suspended. And the commission needs to understand that this is more, this is not just like a technical violation, like you put points on someone's driver's license or you or some administrative penalty. When you suspend a driver's right to drive, you are taking away his livelihood, his ability to make a living. A good example is one of these drivers who was suspended based on his allegations and the charges were dismissed. He still cannot drive and make a living.
Criminal charges were dismissed as opposed to the civil.
Yes, the civil case is a proceeding, but still, until there's a final adjudication, he cannot make a living. That's an unfair. So even if he's found innocent, even if this civil administrative judge rules in his favor, he can't get that lost revenue back. And continue back on his schedule. Not only that, can he gain back the competition? Well, I don't know where he was driving or the place that he was driving. I'm sure someone filled that void, another taxi cab driver. So when you can't just automatically suspend a driver without a proper due process. I mean, when someone make an allegation against a driver, he should have an opportunity. You should send that driver a notice and says there's been a charge against you. You should address this charge within the next 3 days or we will suspend your license. Your license will be suspended once we have an interview with you, once we hear your side. We don't just automatically suspend you. The driver has a right to present his side of the story and to weigh those facts. You have to hear both sides. You just can't assume that just because someone said this happened to me because the driver did that. You will have vindictive people filing complaints against all sorts of drivers and having their license suspended.
Tony Norman, on that same issue, is interesting to read an article of what's going on in Indiana, and we read it in headlines where drivers, cabbies, are filing a class action lawsuit against the Speedway Police Department for the Indy 500 race where, as I understand it, the cab drivers drop off their passengers and then they try to get back to pick up the passengers who they dropped off and who they had arranged to pick up. But I wanted to read, as we did in headlines, the quote from Ken Falk, the legal director for the ACLU of Indiana, who's representing the drivers. He said, and I quote, "The state really has no business seizing your property without cause and certainly has no business taking something as important as the license you use for your livelihood without some sort of process."
Well, that hits the nail on the head. In this country, we have it's a constitutional right that the government and the Taxi Cab Commission is an arm of the government cannot take away your property, your rights, and the right to earn a living is a fundamental principle in this country. Therefore, it rises to the level as a true constitutional right. The government just cannot take away your livelihood without you having an opportunity to address and have an opportunity to defend yourself. That is what due process is. Due process, you have two types of due process. You have what's known as procedural due process and you have substantive due process. In this instance, I think there's a violation of both. A procedural due process is that there is a standard in place that one has to address the charges that people raise against them and to deal with those charges in terms of a procedural perspective. But also the substantive is what you, for instance, taking away a fundamental right raises the issue of the substantive due process, a fundamental right to make a living. And some bureaucrat can arbitrarily make that decision without even talking to you. That is a fundamental constitutional right. So I think to his credit, the chairman says they're going to look at that and revisit that. Because that in and of itself sounds on its surface as an unfair process, the way they handled the last two suspensions. In fact, the administrative judge raises some of those questions to the attorney and the administrators at the Taxi Cab Commission. You should not just simply make an administrative determination to just automatically suspend the driver's right to drive simply based on an allegation without weighing it. They came to the conclusion that these drivers were a danger and a threat to the public. And the only evidence they had is an allegation made by someone who alleged that they were assaulted and the police report. And the police report is nothing but reiterating that allegation by the person who made the allegation that I was assaulted. And just based on that evidence alone, an administrator in the taxi cab commission office or taxi cab administrator's office decided that these drivers were a threat to the public and suspend their license without any other due process, without talking to the driver, without calling the driver in to say, can we hear your side, without the driver even being offered a right to get an attorney if he can't present his own side. They just simply suspended. And I think to the chairman's credit, they're going to revisit that's not going to happen again, that's not going to be an automatic suspension of your license simply based on an allegation and simply that alone.
This is the Taxi Link. We will have time for one more caller, so call in 703-534-9878, 703-534-9878. And we're looking forward to seeing drivers Wednesday, 2 p.m. at 600 L Street Northwest. Very pleased that Chairman Ron Linton has agreed to come do a town hall, and we can open it up and hear from the issues that are concerning to drivers. We've mentioned a number of those. Another one is that the market is going to be opened up for more drivers to come in. And this is something that needs to be discussed, and there really needs to be an explanation from the commission as to why that's necessary. Because as I look back just a couple years ago, and the medallion fight is in full form here in D.C., and the explanation for why there had to be just 3,000 cabs was because there were too many cabs in D.C., and that was officials were putting that out as an explanation for why this medallion bill was so necessary, a medallion bill that would have benefited a few big companies and really been to the detriment of passengers as well as to thousands and thousands of cab drivers. So to go from that justification just a few short years ago to now, even though D.C., as I understand it, has the most cabs per capita of any city in this country and maybe is right up there with any city in this world, now we're going to be adding more cab drivers to the market. We just need the issue to be raised and an explanation from the commission, because as we talk with drivers are already struggling to make ends meet. To have the market be more competitive at this time, I look forward to hearing an explanation as to why, because I know that's going to be an issue that drivers have continued to raise, and we need to have an explanation on the record as to why that makes sense.
And that's why I say I cannot stress that the drivers need to come out to this. I mean, I remember one of the commissioners, Tapscott, emphasized that the drivers just don't show up to their meetings and their hearings. And that's why to some extent they pass all these things and they get mistreated. But this is one of those meetings with drivers. You need to show up, because we're going to have a series of these town hall meetings, not just with the chairman. We may even just have a town hall meeting with the commissioners. A town hall meeting with the executives out in PG County, what's going on in the harbor. We're going to have a series of these town hall meetings across this region where we can have an informal discussion and dialogue. These are not going to be setups and ambush where you can come there and get hostile. We don't want to get it to get negative. We want to have a civil discussion where legitimate issues are raised and the commissioner or whoever would be at the town hall meeting can respond to your legitimate substantive issues that they may not do, that you can't do in a public hearing or anything like that. So we're going to have to try to have a series of these town hall meetings where we'll have an informal discussion. They will be recorded and taped, and where we can get a resolution to some of these issues. This is your opportunity to express yourself. Once again, we don't want it to be a hostile, negative environment. We simply want you to come and express yourself and let the chairman address those concerns and any substantive issues that you may have.
And bring the passion. I mean, we hear from drivers and you talk about how difficult it is and those issues that are impacting drivers. This is the time to bring it, and let's let the chairman respond and let's hear from him and let's have better information on all sides. And maybe we could also do a town hall with Councilmember Mary Che, who chairs the Committee on the Transportation and the Environment. And I hope that she'll have a staffer there. And we have time for one more caller, and I'd like to welcome Michelle Chame to the Taxi Link. Welcome, Michelle.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you. I'm sorry, I was very late. I wanted to call in, but I didn't have a convenient time. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you and your phone and everything else.
Okay, thank you. There are several issues beginning from the opening of licensing to the enforcement process and the mediation process at the Tax Cap Commission. We have several issues. But I would like to remind people to come up with definite ideas, facts, and proofs so that we will address them and openly confront the commissioner why he and his staff are doing this. I urge everybody to be careful, organized, and to the point, use the time in a very efficient manner. That is all what we can say. We will send out texts, we will send out emails in the coming 2 days. And if anyone needs help or assistance or counseling, I'll be very glad to help. Our office is open between now and then. Thank you very much.
No, thank you so much, Michelle. One quick question for you. What is it that, when did you cross that barrier from being a cab driver who drives his cab and attempts to scrape by and make a living and works hard to raise his family to one who speaks out? And you are regularly speaking out at commission hearings before the council. When did you cross that barrier? And was it a difficult one to cross?
Well, it is not a difficult one. It is just a matter of curiosity. Why do they do it? Where do they do it? When do they do it? This is the industry we survive upon, and this is our livelihood. If we don't have concern about this, what else we are concerned about? What else about are we concerned in this world? So it is good to have a close look of what is going on. What is going on? I just want to tell you something about the Maryland PG County drivers. Viola is now, has taken over Gaylord. If you remember a couple of years ago, the general manager of the Washington Hilton was testifying against taxi cab drivers. No taxi cab can park inside the Washington Hilton Hotel. You know who is parking over there? The BLM, the limousine company. And they have rented an office inside the hotel. Mind you, this is an orchestrated mafia. I mean, I'm sorry for the lack of a better word. I mean, if Mario Puzo was alive, he could have written the second bestseller. That's what I can say.
Well, thank you, Michelle, for your comments, and hopefully we can get Violi on to refute their charge. I'm sure they wouldn't appreciate the mafia accusation, but we do need to highlight the role that they are playing in Prince George's County, in D.C., and they are at Gaylord, which is run by Marriott. They are parking their vehicles, and appear to have many different vehicles, whether it's the Super Shuttle or the black sedans. Super Shuttle are blue, black sedans are black, hybrids are now white and green, but they're all Veolia, and cabs are left out in the cold. I want to get your final thoughts, Tony Norman, before we wrap up, and we're definitely looking forward to seeing drivers on Wednesday.
My final thoughts, once again, we're going to try to have a series of these town hall meetings with various people and officials here in the region. And we want everybody to be respectful. Show passion. Bring the truth. Present your cause or complaint. But we want to be respectful. We don't want it to get out of hand. We just want the chairman to address the legitimate concerns and the substantive issues.
And they are legitimate concerns. And every time I go get a chance to speak with drivers, which is very, very frequently, the same concerns are repetitive nature to them, and so we need to get official responses and get some clarification. And some of these things, I think, can be changed if there's some consistent attention paid to them. And I just also think there needs to be better dialogue, because I'm amazed how much drivers know about the industry and amazed how fast things happen. And I just think it'll be helpful to, as Tony said, have a series of these where we bring officials to the table and get to hear directly from them. But we need your presence. We need your presence, drivers. We look forward to seeing folk Wednesday, 2 p.m. at 600 L Street Northwest. And I appreciate the Small Business Association of DC Taxi Cab Drivers for sending out text messages and others who can just spread the word and get folks out. This is the Taxi Link, and it is produced by Will Martin, engineered by Mark Taylor, with special thanks to Stefan Ilie and Germa Degafa. And I want to thank Tony Norman, my co-host. I'm Pete Tucker. This will all be posted at thefightback.org. Till next week.